In the world we're living in, there is just one simple rule. Always have a plan. A way out. I thought hiding was enough, and I was wrong. No matter how simple the ones who wander around seem, there are others out there. Smart ones. I've seen at least two of them, but there are certainly more. And I know at least one of them will be looking for you, no matter where you go.
Colin, Shen, and Jake have found their way into an empty apartment on the 12th floor, two floors short of the fire escape that was going to be their path to freedom.
I can't hold this for long, Colin.
Jake stands with his hands pressed against the door, feet spread, feeling every hit as undead fists strike the door again and again. Colin reloads his shotgun, and Shen picks up an office chair. They both know there's only one way out. Shen uses the chair to clear away the glass from the edges of the frame that weren't dislodged by the blast. Colin looks down to see the steel platforms and ladder 20 feet below.
Come on, you first.
You can't be serious!
While it probably won't kill them, they might well break a leg, or even worse, they could miss.
You ready?
I guess! You think those will hold us?
Only one way to find out, Shen.
Shen sits on the sill, and then lowers her legs out the window, holding onto the window frame, reducing the drop from 20 feet to just under 15.
She's down. Jake, you're next.
The older man turned and gave Conlon a look that turned his blood cold. There was no way both of them were going to make it out of here.
I'm jammed against this door pretty good. If I move, they'll get us. You go. I'll come right after you.
They both knew it was a lie.
No! I'll hold you. You go first.
Colin, quit arguing. Would you just fucking go? I'm coming right behind you.
Colin crosses to the window, throwing his legs over the sill, ready to make the drop.
I'm sorry, Jake. Hurry if you can.
Somehow he had avoided landing on Shen and breaking his ankles. The lovers' eyes met.
Where's Jake?
He's coming. Start down.
Now it was Colin's turn to lie. They started down the first of the steel ladders towards the street below. Back on the 14th floor, Chauncey had had a better idea.
One more time, Paul. We've almost got it. Hit!
Seriously, this is nuts.
They had all made it safely to the building's service elevator. The no-frills elevator was tucked in the back corner of the building and had its own glass wall that separated it from the building's wealthy residents, who had had an aversion to seeing people actually laboring in the building.
Anyone nuts than the undead banging on the glass wall trying to get in?
Right now, a half a dozen of the zombies had found their way to the glassed-in room, and were looking at the survivors like particularly tasty pork chops in the butcher's display case.
I'm not going to be able to do this. My chest. You have to go on without me.
Allison was already unspooling the emergency fire hose from its wheel, tying it carefully around her mom's waist, being careful to loop it between her legs so it wouldn't slide up and choke her as she was lowered to the elevator three floors below.
Mom! No, I'm not leaving you. Just breathe.
We'll lower you down about 35 feet to that elevator down there.
Mrs. Jennings looked over the edge nervously.
Will it even reach, Chauncey?
Mrs. Jennings, we're getting out of here together. You're just going first.
We get to that elevator down there, and then we see what's next.
Oh, my.
Even before Chauncey had lowered Mrs. Jennings all the way to the elevator, it was Allison's turn. There were now twice as many zombies banging against the safety glass that was keeping them at bay.
Get going, Allison. Jump over to the elevator cable. It'll hold. Meet your mom down there.
Okay. This is a great idea. You follow right behind me, both of you.
We will. I love you.
Don't jinx us, you asshole.
Nice mouth on that girl.
Yeah. What now?
We keep moving. And we don't stop until we're out of this building.
Allison arrived at the elevator to find her mother breathing heavily, but safe.
Mom, are you all right?
Just can't catch my breath.
She banged on the cable twice and let Paul know it was his turn to come down, and set about undoing the hose from around her mom's waist. The King Zombie had never been known for his patience.
Atwari Kuka!
A blast of energy rushes out from the open book, only to bounce against the bridge's invisible wall and fizzle.
That sounded less than promising.
When he found himself in the middle of the George Washington Bridge, he began experimenting with some of the more promising spells in Deke's big leather book to open the city of New York. He had no success. He, like many before him, could only stand being in New Jersey for so long.
Iditimonsi! Have at it. You get through the barrier, and I give you first dibs on the meat inside.
If he was being honest, he could only stand being in New York for so long. But they've got something he needs, and he's going to get it. No matter how many of his deadheads he has to watch be ripped apart by the spell keeping him out.
Screw this island and this fucking useless book.
For the first time, he casts his Ray-Bans to the sky above the river and sees there is, in fact, a way into the city. And it isn't over any of the city's 21 bridges or through any of its 15 tunnels.
Now, why didn't I notice you birds before, flying free and clear?
The Zombie King crosses to the side of the bridge and sees the frozen Hudson River below.
Well, I'll be damned. Looks like we need to think outside the box here, boys and girls.
Jake, like most New Yorkers, understood irony. A doorman trying to hold a door shut was an excellent example of irony.
Just 15 steps and a drop down to the fire escape. Piece of cake!
But he would be damned if he was going to give up just for the sake of irony. So as the door began to give way, he started running.
No!
He just couldn't run fast enough. As the zombie brought Jake to the ground, he was comforted with the knowledge that Colin wouldn't have made it to the open window either. He hadn't sacrificed his life for nothing. And he wasn't giving up without a fight.
Get away from me! Oh, God!
But there were just too many of them, and only one of him.
Stop!
The zombies ceased their attack and parted like a curtain. From the darkened hallway strolled the tallest man Jake had ever seen, living or dead. The one who had spoken to him on the first floor landing.
Let me see if this is our gate opener before we do anything too hasty.
The giant zombie carried a legless zombie on his shoulder.
What say you, Oracle? Is he our man?
The legless zombie seemed to whisper something into the big zombie's ear. Jake didn't understand what was going on. How could he?
Please. You obviously have something left of your soul.
My soul ain't something you want to be bringing up. But it's not up to me, my friend.
What is that thing?
This thing will tell me if you are a gate opener or just plain old me. It will decide whether you live or die. And if I can use you to get off this fucking island. He said the door opener left the building. I'm so very sorry. You wasted my time, meat.
Still holding the oracle on one shoulder, the giant reached out and lifted Jake by the throat.
No, I'm sorry.
And bit off the front of his face. Colin and Shen had almost reached the alley below when...
Oh, God! What was that scream? Jake!
There's nothing we can do about that. Just keep moving.
One more ladder and the pair of lovers was free. When they reached the ground, it was then that they realized how screwed they truly were.
Now what?
We've got none of our gear.
We can go to Max. We hide out and slowly make our way there. He had more clothes we're gonna need in this cold. And then we can start thinking about how to find everyone else and get the hell out of here.
The moon was full at Folly Beach. Baker was sitting alone at the end of a dock, his private refuge. The spot gave him shelter from a world gone mad. Tonight, he had company.
It's pretty here at night.
Yeah.
Dan sat down next to the younger teen, setting a lukewarm six-pack between them.
Want one?
Not of age yet. I'm sticking with my soda pop.
You serious?
Yep. Listen, we don't usually kill people out here. We try to help them, Dan. We let a family come in a week after this shit started going down. The little girl and her sweet old grandma were both bit. 15 people died because of that. Steven hasn't forgotten. He blames himself. You sense them, don't you? That's why you screamed this morning.
Yeah. I had a run-in with one of them that could talk. He was messing with my mind, and I don't know. It changed me, Baker.
Dan thought back to that day on the riverside when the King Zombie was crushing his throat as he watched his best friend Mickey being ripped apart by that thing. He had struck out with all of his might, knocking the King's sunglasses aside as black light flowed from those dead eyes into his, giving him the ability to sense when the zombies were close by.
Christ, a talking walking dead. Guess it's just one more crazy thing in this world.
Why are they burning those fires?
Some people do it for their loved ones who were gone. Others are hoping for a boat to come and take them someplace safer. Steven says it's okay. Doesn't seem to attract any of them.
Why do these people want to be rescued? This place is great.
We're an endangered species. Is any place really safe?
I guess you're right. What about Steven? He seems to be pretty hardcore, insecure in what's going on here.
He's the worst of anyone. Always scanning the radio broadcasts.
Did he hear anything?
Some religious types. One guy playing only Bowie all the time. None of them listening back. And for a while, he always was talking about his brother Colin from up north. I think he's lost hope on that one.
Baker took a sip from his cola.
I think that's why he took to me so quick. My gift finding people. A lot of people think I'm... Well, they're scared of me. Not Steven, though.
You folks religious or something?
Not really. Why?
How come you can do those things you do?
My mom called me touched. Said I was just like my father when no one else was around. He died overseas. I never met him. She said the night he died, I was crying up a storm. She could tell something was wrong. I guess we both knew before the call even came. My stepdad called us both nuts. When I was 12, our neighbor's house caught fire. I woke up screaming. I yelled that something was wrong. No one believed me until the flames from their house lit up my room. I could smell them for weeks. No one else could, but it wouldn't leave me. The whole family burned. No one lived. The touch kicked back up after this started. I kind of think it has to do with the fear people feel out there. Thinking or believing they're going to die. I guess it's what I sense on people. Give me a swig of that.
Hey, Baker, you ain't old enough to drink that.
Oh, I was just holding it for...
Relax, kid. It's time to celebrate.
It was obvious that Steven was excited, but he still couldn't meet eyes with Dan.
What is it, Steven?
Contact with other people. And a way to find them. They say they are on their way.
So the recovering alcoholic is just gonna hole up in a bar?
Now's not the time, Shen.
I know, but I'm so cold, I thought some joking might warm us up.
They had stuck to the alleys as much as they could, which shielded them from the wind. But they needed to come out onto the wind tunnel that was 7th Avenue if they were going to see if Mac was, one, all right, and two, able to take them in.
You feel any better?
Not yet.
They were now in front of Mac's place, but there had been some obvious changes since Colin had last visited. The wide picture window, now just below snow level, was smashed. Jagged pieces of glass hung from the top of the frame.
Oh, see it. That window wasn't broken before.
Shen was looking up and down the wide avenue while he tried to pierce the darkness within the bar with his quickly dying flashlight and weary eyes. He straightened as she came over to join him.
I know you know this, but Mac was bit. He could have turned or something could have chased him back here.
Well, we can't stay out here. We're cold, and we haven't seen one of those things in a while, so let's not push it.
Colin avoided the hanging shards as he lowered himself into the bar. Shen Tu entered the room quietly. The wood floor was now covered in snow thanks to the open window. The bar looked empty.
Mac? You here, man?
Colin lifted his shotgun, making sure that neither of the lurching figures was his new friend Mac. Not that it would have made a difference if he had indeed turned. Both zombies were still in business attire as they lurched from behind the bar. Weekday warriors who had never made it home.
Colin?
I see it.
The first shot hit one of the creatures square in the chest, missing the head completely.
God damn it! Shit! I gotta reload her!
Well, don't talk about it!
He broke open the stock and reloaded, while Shen picked up a chair.
Just do it!
Bringing it down hard on one of the zombies' heads, knocking them into one another, like dominoes as they both collapsed to the floor. The two dead men struggled to get their feet beneath them. Colin gave Shen an apologetic glance.
We'll be better off outside. It'll take him some time to get out there. We can hold up someplace else.
Suddenly, the bulkhead door behind the bar flew open, and a hulking figure came out swinging a sledgehammer.
Mac, is that you?
Yeah.
The hammer came down, painting brain matter across a nearby wall, turning it from green to pink. The second zombie didn't wait as it began lurching towards Mac and his bloody hammer.
A little help, Colin.
Colin took his cue. And like that, the bar once again belonged to the living. The big bartender stood hammer in his meaty paws, looking a little dazed.
You have no idea how happy I am to see you. Those two followed me back here and I hid in the basement. They've been banging away for a full day. A fucking entire day. Driving me nuts.
Just then, he looked away from Colin to see his beautiful young companion, offering her a hand.
Well, hello there. I'm Mac.
Shen.
I guess I should have accepted Colin's offer to come up and hang with you all the first time, huh?
Okay, enough.
Mac raised one eyebrow and offered Shen his most charming smile.
I guess I struck a nerve.
It's about time someone has.
How's the hand?
They both looked down at his wounded paw. It was still in the same improvised bandages from before. It looked relatively clean.
So far, so good. No desire to eat either of you. Yet.
Good.
So? Is this it? Is it moving day? I had nothing to do with those things pounded away up here, so I packed some stuff in the cellar.
Seriously?
I had to keep myself busy somehow.
Mac grabbed a bag filled with sweaters and extra shirts. Both Shen and Cullen added two layers each, while Mac brought bags filled with canned goods and supplies up from the basement.
We can't leave yet. Things got a little crazy.
We got separated.
I don't suppose you had a meeting place decided on?
No, not really.
Mac hefted the sledgehammer in his right hand as he considered its weight.
Do you even know if they're alive?
No. We're pretty sure one of us. Jake is gone. But the others were higher up in the building. We just don't...
Come out, wherever you are.
Is that one of your friends? Are they nuts? Jesus. How many people did you have up there with you?
Not that many.
For a moment, they were blinded by the sunlight coming in through the broken window. Once their eyes adjusted, they could finally make out the figures now blocking their only escape. A giant bald zombie crouched at the window, surrounded by what looked to be every zombie in Lower Manhattan. And then he did something none of them had expected.
I'm only here for one of you.
He spoke.
So come outside and meet my oracle. I do promise you one thing, this is where it ends. By morning, I will be free as a bird.
The bridge now stands empty. The king of the zombies has gone back to New Jersey, but don't think he has given up, for this is a wise king. A puzzle that had defeated the giant was child's play for the king of the deadheads. It was a cute trick, and I'm sure the dude that did it thought it was pretty clever. The magical spell had indeed shut down all the bridges and tunnels onto and off of the island. But the river's frozen now. Frozen enough to carry the full weight of a king, a harling, and his undead army. The zombie king is about to take Manhattan. Ain't nothing gonna keep King Zombie from finding the open. And when I do, all hell is gonna break loose.
It's clear.
It was now an actual blizzard when the others had dug their way out of the building's lobby. They had waited on top of the elevator until they stopped hearing the zombies. Then they waited a little bit longer and made their way carefully out of the building with Chauncey leading the way.
Clear! Where'd they all go?
I don't know and I don't care. Let's move.
Paul helped Mrs. Jennings up the steep snowbank.
But maybe we should stay here and see if anyone comes back. Colin...
Listen. Colin is a good man. But he had us trapped up there. For all we know, it cost Shen, Jake, and Colin their lives. I say we head to my place uptown. We hole up and wait this winter out. It's safe.
There they all stood in the cold, with only Chauncey dressed warmly enough to make the trip uptown.
May I make a different suggestion?
Who in the hell are you?
All heads turned to see a pleasant-looking man waving to them from a subway entrance. He looked almost serene in his baggy gray sweater and chinos.
My name is Malcolm. I'm here to help you. Come down here out of the cold and we can talk about getting you out of the city.
They all exchanged glances and...
Wait, Paul! Allison!
Everyone but Chauncey moved towards Malcolm.
That guy could be a nutcase. Guys, let's at least talk about this.
As their heads disappeared into the subway, a lone man in a trench coat stood there in the snow, waiting. But for what?
Shit. This is a bad idea.
It may be mankind's only hope. This message will repeat every 15 minutes.
Back at Folly Beach, everyone was gathered around the radio in Steven's office.
I've heard that broadcast before.
Dan thought about the first time he had heard that message on an old transistor radio. Riding with his arm around Donna's shoulder on that old yellow school bus with Mike and the gang.
You have? Why didn't you mention it, Dan?
And the last time he heard that message, back in the treehouse, with the hanging man and having to fulfill his final request.
I never imagined you were looking for help. This island is the safest place I've been since that shit started. And you people are the only safe, normal folk around.
I won't believe that. The only way we're gonna survive is by banding together. Linda, let people know we have company coming.
Sure thing, Steven. This is great news.
This is just a broadcast, though, right? How do you know people are still alive, much less coming?
Yesterday, a real person broke in and I connected with him. I gave him our location.
But you've been so careful. What if they...
Because we're just normal people, damn it. Baker knows it'll fall apart. We are forced to go farther and farther under the mainland for food, our medical supplies are a joke. We have a vet but no doctor. What if there's a hurricane? What if some of us got sick? I can't keep everything together. And these zombie fucks aren't gonna drop any dead anytime soon. And my brother, he's the one who always knew what to do. I'm just trying to keep us alive. I killed that girl. I'm a good person. I don't want to make those choices anymore.
Sir, Stephen, you've done everything you could. We're all alive because... Whoa! Look at that! They're here already.
All three looked out the window to see six Huey helicopters flying towards them.
Good Lord. I pray I made the right decision, Baker. For all of us.
You have nothing to worry about. All the zombies went topside when their food supply ran out. Now it's just me and the rats. And in this cold, even they've become scarce.
So, Malcolm, you really live down here?
They had been walking down the subway tunnel for about 20 minutes. While it was cold, it was nothing compared to the bitter coldness on the surface.
In a way, Paul, not that I entertain all that often anymore. Put simply, this is my underground railroad. Literally. I help people like you all escape the island.
See, honey, things are gonna be okay.
Mom, the breathing sounds horrible. Guys, can we stop for a minute? My mom's having a tough time.
Of course. We can rest in my place.
Malcolm's place was a boarded-up subway car that looked like it hadn't been in service since there had been a peanut farmer in the White House.
Yeah, this was a real humdinger of an idea. First trapped in a building, and now trapped underneath the city.
The subway car turned out to be nicer on the inside than it had been on the outside. Clean and somewhat isolated from the cold outside.
I'm no doctor, but...
Keep it down, Chauncey. You'll upset Allison.
Mrs. Jacobs was laid down on one of the benches. Allison had taken off her coat to make a pillow, trying to make her mom as comfortable as possible.
I agree. It's not good.
The men were now gathered at the far end of the train car.
Well, what should we do then?
When she wakes up, we'll see.
We'll see? But Chauncey, it's all we can do right now, Paul.
We're safe down here, guys. We have food. No undead. We can wait for her to get well if we have to. You should all get some sleep. It has been a trying day.
At Mac's bar, things were far from safe. The giant had stepped back to clear a path for his prey, cowering in the shadows with no way out, but into the snow and the crowd of walking dead.
Come on out now! Don't mind my friends, they won't eat you. Till I give the word.
The first talking dead we ever met was the rotten thing we came to call the giant. He was prepared to feed us to his shambling dead friends as soon as he figured out which one of us was his mystical door opener. The doorway to where I can't even begin to imagine. But it's something the smart ones seem to want.
I think the Oracle's getting excited. That's a first.
Somehow these Oracle creatures can smell out door openers. It's a little beyond me, to be honest.
So it really must be one of you three. Oh, happy day!
You will need to know these things, and I might not be around to tell you.
Don't be shy. The Oracle is the only one of us that doesn't bite. All it wants is the touch of a door opener. It gets off on it. Romantic, right?
Left with no choice, the three living crawled their way out of the bar.
Jesus Christ! Get it away! Why is that thing pointing at me?
The giant had placed the Oracle on the ground, but its finger pointed unwaveringly at Shen as she emerged from the bar.
Because you got a gift, beautiful. An untapped bit of magic we need in order to unleash the best of hell. You are our opener.
The large zombie swooped in behind the humans, maneuvering them against a brick wall, cutting them off from any means of escape.
Now, you're gonna come with me.
Get away from her!
Colin charged forward, taking a punch to the gut for his troubles. The two of them began rolling about in the snow, trying to gain an advantage.
Colin!
So brave, and I know why. I smell the death inside of you. Don't fight me. Let me hasten your exit. You can serve me. Fuck you! Forget it.
The giant had been playing with Colin. He tossed the man off of him like so much garbage.
I'll just eat your rotten body whole, maggot!
During the struggle, Shen had been knocked to the ground. The Oracle had wormed its way across the snow and began pawing at his stomach from behind.
Why is it grabbing at my stomach, Mac? Get it off me!
Mac came over and picked up the legless zombie and tossed him to the side onto a pile of garbage.
Oh, it's a strong little bastard. I can't...
The giant grabbed the big Irishman and flung him into a wall.
You can't save her! Nothing will stop me from possessing her. She gives me access to the king's book, and that gets me off the goddamn island.
Using two large hands, he lifted Shen from her place on the ground.
Now let's go! And wait a minute. The Oracle isn't pointing at you, is it?
He noticed the slight swell in the shape of Shen's belly and realized his mistake.
You want the door open? Your unborn baby is!
What?
He lowered her to the ground as Colin and Mac looked up from the gutter.
The Oracle is trying to get inside of you.
I wanted to tell you, but so much was happening. You were so focused on getting out of here.
Shut the fuck up, wench! King Zombie isn't gonna want a fucking unborn baby open. You'll probably go back on our agreement. It'll be decades before the brat is powerful enough. Gang, just eat him. Make it horrible. But save me the woman. I want to find out what unborn door opening tastes like.
The giant zombies were picking up their master's mood and began to shamble forward.
Oh my god!
Mac and Colin had made it back to their feet and picked Shen up and began to run up 7th Avenue.
Run!
You're kidding, right? We can't hold off all of them.
Colin knew Mac was right. They weren't all going to make it, but he could make sure his child would have a chance. He suddenly stopped and turned. Mac and Shen paused in their retreat.
I know! Just get her out of here then! Now!
Colin! No!
Come on, Shen! Go!
But just then... Nezad Rancor! Company arrived. The zombies froze in place.
What are you doing? Eat them! Don't stop!
While they may work for the giant...
I overruled you, punk.
They knew their king when they saw him.
And I want them to hold my prisoners until I figure out what's happening here.
How'd you get here? There's no way in. Did you find the passage in the book?
Fuck the book. I'm smarter than you, and that simple fact makes this my island now. I don't need you anymore. Now, which one of these poor souls is my door opener?
How many people have you helped leave?
103.
Mrs. Jennings' breathing had slowed down. None of them knew enough to know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But she and they all needed a rest, so they let her sleep.
Would you remember them if you saw them?
Every one of them.
Chauncey took out his wallet and produced a much-loved photo and showed it to the older man.
Your wife and daughter are lovely. But no, I'm sorry, I haven't seen them.
Do you have family someplace out there?
No. My wife and daughter... they're gone.
I'm sorry. I hope it was, quick.
In the early days of the crossing, I was asked to perform an exorcism for a neighbor. Before all this, even saying something like that out loud might have drawn a sideways glance and a chuckle. Probably not anymore.
What are you telling me? You're a priest?
This is a different, very small church. The Church of Life, chosen to guard the barrier between here and there. Obviously, we were not successful. It was a neighbor's son, a fellow believer. Alan was a big kid, nice as hell. He used to play catch with my daughter. His parents tried to keep his possession a secret. They were ashamed of it. A Church of Life member with a son possessed could be interpreted as a lack of faith. They came to me in confidence. Like a fool, I thought I could handle it for them. I wasn't prepared. He was more than possessed. Alan was a vessel for something that had gained complete entry. He was so strong. His parents had him restrained. No one human could have broken those bonds. He tore free like they were made of paper. When he did, the first thing he did was throw me out of the second floor window. I don't know how long I was unconscious. When I came to, I ran upstairs to get my family. But I was too late to save Anne, or...
There he was, the parishioner's son. His black skin already turning gray, his head smooth. And tall, so very tall, it was the giant feeding on his wife.
My daughter!
And that was the part he could never bring himself to say out loud. His daughter had already been turned into one of them, one of the living dead.
I ran. I was so absorbed in my own horrors that I didn't realize the world was falling apart. The Church of Life had rules for crossing containment. With the walls between the living and the dead obviously crumbling, I had to stop this from spreading. With all of the chaos in the city, it was easy. No one was getting in or out anyway. There was a curfew, and soldiers had barricaded the bridges. I sealed it mystically.
Gear, truncate, August Square, past Herna, Nick.
Nothing alive or dead could get in or out over the bridges and entranceways to the city. By the time I found out this was happening everywhere, not just New York, it was too late. We never planned for a worldwide crossing, never imagined it was possible. Now I was the fool that trapped and murdered millions. I eventually found this last exit. I thought of closing it, but I couldn't. I started to search for survivors in order to get them out, to atone for what I've done. There haven't been many.
With your family gone, I can understand losing hope.
I will find your family. But first, I will get you all out of Manhattan.
Mom, you hear that? We're getting out of here.
Sometime in the night, Mrs. Jennings had passed.
Mom! No! No!
But now, she had returned.
Jesus! Allison, get away from her!
Chauncey pulled his weapon and was ready to fire.
Mrs. Jennings?
But just then, her mother made a grab for Allison and Paul pulled his gun.
Stay away from Allison!
He missed, hitting her in the shoulder, not even slowing her down.
Mom! Mom, it's me, Allison!
Not trusting his aim.
We can't help her!
Paul rushed forward, bringing the gun down again and again until the zombie's head was destroyed. The body now lying at peace on the floor of the subway car.
I'm sorry, but she wouldn't have wanted to hurt you. I had to do it.
Bring me the Oracle, Giant, so I can find my opener. Then we can discuss your future, serving me. Opini Defoski!
The magical command hung in the air for a moment, like a live wire. When suddenly, the giant kicked out with one massive foot, crushing the Oracle's head on the side of a parked car. The spell had not worked.
You may control the others, but you can't boss me around. Screw you!
At that moment, everyone stopped, zombie and human alike, bearing witness to this showdown between the zombie king and the giant of Manhattan.
I know who the opener is, King Zombie, and you don't. So now you need me. Just give me the book, and the information is yours.
No.
The word hung in the air like a sword over both their heads.
Have it your way.
The giant charged.
I'm gonna whip it from your dead fingers.
The two intelligent zombies fall to the ground. The king, holding back the giant, now gripping onto his jacket, as the other hand reached for his face.
Don't ever touch the shades. Tony Ponetka!
And while the king's spell doesn't work on the giant, it still works on the army of the dead that surround them. Jersey zombies and Manhattan zombies united. Suddenly,
No one is looking at the humans.
What now?
I don't know, but they're forgetting about us. We don't know what happened to them. One of them could still be out there. Maybe both. We didn't wait to find out.
Dory Ponechka!
After I use your bike to crush your skull, I'm gonna take your body and hang it for everyone to see! Everyone will see it and know this is my world now!
That sounds pretty fucking scary. But I have to ask you one question. You and what army?
Huh?
As he looks up, the giant realizes that the tables have indeed turned. Oh, tear them apart!
No! Mindless fucks, get away from me!
You're still not getting it! It's my world! The king now stands, looking down at the red patch in the snow that had once been the giant. Now, back to the more pressing matter. Where's my potential door opener? God damn it!
I don't know what happened to the others. I hope they made it to safety, but I have a feeling I'll never know.
You aren't coming, Chauncey? What in the hell are you talking about?
The group stands now in another part of the subway tunnel, away from the tragedy of Mrs. Jennings. Malcolm has loaded Paul and Allison down with as many supplies as they can carry, and heavy winter coats for the journey.
Malcolm and I are going to look for my family. I need to know either way. I've marked the way to Folly Beach on this map. It'll help you avoid all the major cities. It'll take you a while, but I think it'll be safer.
You had a map ready? You thought Colin was being stupid and you weren't coming.
I was gonna leave it for my family in our apartment. You take care of Allison. You're a good man.
She hates me. I killed her mom.
She doesn't. And you didn't. That wasn't her mom anymore.
Paul turns and crosses to Allison, who has been nearly silent since her mother's passing. Malcolm comes up and stands beside his new friend.
Are they going to be all right?
Are any of us?
Allison, I...
Seeing the young lovers in one another's embrace, giving both older men hope that there is indeed still room for love in this nightmare existence, and by extension... hope.
Let's go find my family.
Amen.
The three of us followed the zombie tracks across the river. It was the quickest way out of the city. 2 days of walking through the snow, and we decided to take a rest inside a small empty house upstate. And this is where I started this journal for you.
Mac is asleep. What are you doing?
Writing something. For the baby.
Shen comes up behind him, placing her hands on his shoulders. He can feel the swell of her belly against his back.
Oh, are you gonna tell me what that thing was talking about? When he said he could smell the sickness in you?
Now it was his turn to reveal his secret, the reason he had been at the hospital on the day the zombies came.
I have cancer. I was getting it treated, but obviously not anymore.
How long?
Before this? A year, maybe. Without treatment. Less. I wanted to tell you, but... everything, I'll keep writing until the end.
Shh. I guess we both had our secrets then, huh?
Yours was far better, Shen.
He pulls her into a tight embrace. Her hand feels cool against his skin.
I wish I could be there for you. I'll get you both someplace safe. To my brother, I promise you both that much. I wish a lot of things. But the world as it is now doesn't look to be a forgiving place. So, for now we head south, to Stephen.
At Folly Beach, South Carolina, help has arrived.
for help!
That you will meet your uncle and be safe with him and the people that he has around him.
Stephen Fleet, a man of conscience, now lays dead in his office chair, gunned down by the very people who were supposed to save him.
Two of them went out that window, Sergeant Bowker.
What a complete clusterfuck this has turned into. Kill the injured and load the rest up for transfer to slaughterhouse. The doc needs more cattle.
But even in the midst of death on Folly Beach, there remains hope. As two teens, Dan and Baker make their way slowly to a deserted portion of the island.
Come on, Baker. We can get to a boat.
Baker knows better. He'd taken a bullet to the leg when things went south with Bowker and the troops from Safe Haven. He knows what has to be done to ensure that even one of them has a chance to escape.
My leg is bad, Dan. I can't. I'll slow you down.
Why don't we get you in this boat and...
They're on a beach. A boat lies upside down on the water's edge.
You saw what happened to Linda's boat. They'll blow it out of the water. We're not arguing about this. Now go!
Dan pauses and looks into the younger man's eyes for a moment and knows he's right. There's no way that Baker can make the swim to safety.
Find your friends. Don't ever come back here.
But
don't let us both get killed here.
As he enters the water, he doesn't look back to see the smoke rising up from what had been their safe little village. Dan makes it to shore. He was on his own when he lost Donna and the others, and now he has lost Baker and Stephen. There are two things that can keep someone with nothing in the world going: hope and vengeance. And right now, it's vengeance that will win the day. He now knows that Safe Haven is a lie. A lie that has taken something from him. He's going to find them and make them pay.
I hope you and your mother can find happiness somehow. She's a strong woman. Just know, even though I probably will never get to meet you, that I love you very much. And that no matter how horrible things get, you have to believe there's some good left in this world. It just might take some time to find it.